Your Honor, I believe there are two matters on the docket.
There are.
Is it accurate that we're doing statute of limitations issue first?
The impression was that we'd have the limitation period argument first and then the other argument, since there were different parties involved in the two matters.
Right. And there is an allocation of 10 minutes for each side, for each matter.
Thank you, Your Honor. Aaron Street on behalf of the appellants in the statute of limitations matter, and I would like to reserve 3 minutes of time.
Very well.
Whether as a matter of text or legislative intent, 4.16.160's elimination of the statute of limitations does not apply to an 080 parens patriae restitution claim. Starting with the text, 160 says, quote, there shall be no limitations to actions brought in the name of or for the benefit of the state. But when we turn to the text of 080, it doesn't fall within that category. And 080 parens claim says, quote, the AG may bring an action as parens patriae on behalf of persons residing within the state. It's not on behalf of the state. It's on behalf of persons residing within the state. When the legislature enacted that parens patriae claim, it recognized that it would not be falling within the statute of limitations override of 160. And that makes sense because a parens patriae claim, by its very nature, is on behalf of individuals seeking to recover compensation for those individuals' private harm. It's not an action by the state for the benefit of the state or for the benefit of the public as a whole. It's simply different in kind. Federal law recognizes this. Under the Sherman and the Clayton Act, a parens patriae suit brought by a state attorney general seeking restitution is subject to the same 4-year statute of limitations claim as a private damages claim. In other words, federal law is crystal clear that for purposes of statute of limitations, a parens claim seeking restitution is on equal footing with a private damages claim. And the legislature has instructed, and the courts have agreed, that where Washington law is unclear, we don't think it's unclear here, but if this court thinks it's unclear, then the legislation should be brought into conformance with federal law for a very simple reason. Washington businesses should not be subject to a limitless period for their behavior under Washington law when federal law addresses the question and provides for a 4-year statute of limitations.
Well, who would make that determination as to whether they should or they shouldn't be?
Whether they should or they shouldn't be under a statute of limitations?
No, you just made the assertion that Washington businesses should not be under a certain state of affairs. And my question is, who properly makes the determination as to whether they should or should not be under that state of affairs? That would be the legislature. Right?
Yes, absolutely. And the legislature here, as I explained, under the text of 160.
So if the legislature saw it your way, why would they not have included 080 in the same provision that they included 090?
They certainly could have done that. I think the textual difference between 160 and 080 indicates that they did not mean to bring 080 under the limitless statute of limitations. But turning to you directly,
well, it's not a limitless statute of limitations. It means that there is no limitation period.
Correct. That's much more concisely stated.
So why wouldn't we assume that the legislature is aware of legislation, that it was aware that there was a provision that would allow for there to be no limitation period applicable to certain actions, and knowing that, it felt no need to do anything other than what it did in enacting the statute, which was to call out that which it wanted to impose a limitation period on, 090, and remain silent with regard to the others because it's already covered under other acts? Why wouldn't we assume that that's what they're doing rather than that somehow they made a mistake?
Sure. Let me answer that in a few parts. If the 080 Perrins claim fell within 160, if the text lined up, I would agree 100%, Your Honor, that the legislature would have intended for 080 to fall under the 160 override. But the text does not line up. 160 applies to actions for the benefit of the state, in other words, for the public as a whole. And 080 Perrins claim by its very text is on behalf of persons residing in the state. And turning directly to the CPA statutory context, which further goes to what the legislature was aware of, the 090 damages claim can be brought by a private individual or by the state for its own damages. And 120 provides a four-year statute of limitations, quote, for any damages action under 090. So in other words, if the state is bringing a claim for its own damages, it's subject to a four-year statute of limitations. And I think the legislature's intent was very clear that if the state suing for its own damages, the very core of sovereignty, is subject to a four-year limitations claim, then clearly when the state is suing on behalf of individuals seeking private compensatory recovery, that it would be subject to the same limitations claim. And that's bolstered when you look at, when you line up 080 and 090 and you look beyond the labels, just as federal law does. 080 and 090 penalize the precise same conduct. They penalize, in this case, price fixing of the CRTs. 080 and 090 are penalizing the precise same defendants.
Well, but the claim here is one, the indirect purchaser claim, is one that could not be brought under federal law.
That's correct.
But so this particular claim would not be, there would be no limitation period that would apply to it because it's not a cause of action that's recognized under federal law.
Well, there's simply not a cause of action. That's correct. But the state is bringing claims.
There's no cause of action. There's no limitation period.
I won't dispute with you over that, Your Honor.
Yeah. So how does what you're saying follow, given that the cause of action doesn't exist under federal law?
In at least two ways, Your Honor. Because the state is bringing Perrins Patriae claims on behalf of both direct and indirect purchasers in this action. Nobody disputes that they could bring this direct purchaser claim under federal law, that individuals could bring this direct purchaser claim. And so there's no basis in 080, there's no basis in federal law for treating direct and indirect purchaser claims any different for purposes of a statute of limitations. There's no argument made by the state, there's no rationale I can get to for severing out indirect purchaser claims and yet holding direct purchaser claims subject to the statute of limitations. And I think the core point here is that whether a claim is a Perrins claim brought on behalf of direct purchasers or on behalf of indirect purchasers, it's still a claim brought for the benefit of particular persons within the state. It's not a claim brought on behalf of the state primarily for the purpose of law enforcement or for the good of the state as a whole. Thank you.
Good morning, Your Honor.
David Kerwin on behalf of the state. This is a much simpler case of statutory construction than it's made out to appear. The first question before this court is whether the four-year statute of limitations in 1986-120 applies to 080, applies to Attorney General Perrin's actions. It's clear on its face that it does not, and there's no reason to ignore the plain language of that statute in this case. The second distinct question before the court is whether the Attorney General Perrin's claims are exempted from any other possible statute of limitations by 416-160. Because Perrin claims are specifically sovereign and are brought for the benefit of the state, 416-160 does squarely apply in this case. Defendants price-fixed millions of products which found their way into Washington State. The Attorney General's Perrin's Patriae claim on behalf of state consumers represents their only recourse. As Your Honors pointed out, there is no federal cause of action on behalf of indirect purchasers. There's no private cause of action either. The heart of this lawsuit is exclusively a Consumer Protection Act claim. The defendants are asking the court to look to federal law to analogize a statute of limitations in this case. What they're actually asking for the court to do is graft a federal statute of limitations onto our Consumer Protection Act. Under federal law, direct purchaser claims have a four-year statute of limitations. Under state law, proprietary claims on behalf of state agencies are also limited to 4 years. We know this because 1986-120 is clear on its face. We also know that the legislature knows how to amend Section 120 to include statutes of limitations where it intends them to be. It was amended once to put a 4-year statute of limitations on private 020 Consumer Protection Act claims. So we know that the legislature knows well how to do that. The two cases that are controlling here when it comes to whether or not 416-160 applies, if the court makes it that far, are Herman and Major League Baseball. In Herman, it was a state insurance commissioner suing on behalf, suing in order to rehabilitate an insurance company. The court declared that the insurance code in that was the insurance code was passed by the legislature for the public good, and that the legislature had clearly in mind that the insurance commissioner in enforcing the code would be benefiting the public generally. Here the state brings suit under the Consumer Protection Act, which states in its language that it's there to protect the public and to foster fair and honest competition. Just like in Herman, the actions taken by the state here, while they may or may not benefit certain private individuals, or certain private parties, are taken predominantly in the public interest. Also in Major League Baseball, we see the court applying
force. What's the significance of the inquiry that's briefed up about in the public interest? Is it to identify whether the state is acting in the certain circumstance at issue as sovereign?
It is, Your Honor. The question, Major League Baseball.
Would you agree or concede that while the state may be acting as sovereign in bringing a parens patriae claim, because only the sovereign can bring such a claim, that it is acting as a mere consumer when it brings a claim to recover actual damages for injury done to it as a result of the contractual relationship it had as the purchaser of chattel?
I think if I'm understanding Your Honor correct, that's exactly correct, and that's the difference between an 080 Attorney General Parents action and an 090 action, which is proprietary in nature. The state is suing on behalf of state agencies as purchasers to recover those damages. The statute of limitations applies to those proprietary claims just as it applies to any private proprietary claims that are brought under 090. I think that drives home the fact that we are talking about two distinct causes of action here. 080 is brought on behalf of all consumers. It's brought on behalf of the state generally. It seeks not only restitution,
Are the state's purchases as a consumer within the, I'm going to use the word class, but I'm going to use it imprecisely, the class of purchases that are subject to the parens patriae action? In other words, can the state be parens patriae as to itself in addition to hundreds of or thousands of other state residents?
Not under the Consumer Protection Act. No. Okay. No.
That's a statutory answer to that.
Yes, Your Honor. Yes, exactly. Much of the defendant's argument is based on this assumption that the state can file suit 4 years and a day after a claim accrues and a private plaintiff cannot. This somehow results in an untenable paradox or an injustice. In reality, I don't think there's any real argument that this can't be the case. There are any number of reasons that the legislature would grant the government and private parties different statutes of limitations. The most obvious here is that we're talking about two entirely different causes of action. This argument that the government might...
Is the most obvious reason just that it didn't want to?
Absolutely, Your Honor.
It doesn't have to. It doesn't have to be sued unless it wants to. It can sue under whatever rules it wants to make.
Exactly, Your Honor. Yeah.
There was an election, a bunch of people got together, and they didn't want to do that.
Right.
Is it fancier than that?
It isn't, Your Honor. The statute of limitations found in the Consumer Protection Act is absolutely clear on its face. The legislature knows how to edit it. The legislature is absolutely clear on what it applies to. It does not apply to 080 parents' claims. There's really, Your Honor's correct, there's really no reason to reach 416-160 in this case. We know that the court, whenever it can, applies the plain language of a statute, and there's no reason here to not apply the plain language of the statute. Defendants are essentially asking asking the court to impose a statute of limitations, to impose a federal law on our Consumer Protection Act, where there is no analogy to be found. This cause of action does not exist under federal law. The best proof of that is that we're standing here talking about it today, that highlights that these are two very separate, 080 and 09 are two very separate causes of action. This case comes down to something fairly simple, I think. The defendants think that there should be a 4-year statute of limitations on the Perrins claim. Not only do we disagree that that's good policy, and I talk about that for a second, 080 claims aren't just antitrust price-fixing claims. 080 claims are the general mechanism that is used for consumer protection enforcement in the state. We're not just talking about restitution on behalf of consumers. We're also talking about injunctive relief on behalf of the state as a whole, and we're also talking about 020 consumer protection claims. To all of a sudden find that there's a 4-year statute of limitations or any statute of limitations on 080 Attorney General Perrin's claims, I think would come as a surprise to the consumer protection enforcement community and would certainly throw it on its ear for a time.
Is what you're saying this, that if we were to read into 080 the 090 limitation period, there would be no principled reason not to read that same limitation period into all other provisions? Is that what you're saying?
That's certainly the argument the defendants are making, Your Honor, is that the 4-year statute of limitations found in 120 applies to 080 claims. The legislature intended it somehow to apply to 080 claims. I think the language 120 is clear on its face that it does not. And 080 covers generally parents' claims brought, whether they're consumer protection or they're antitrust, parents' claims brought on behalf of the state as a whole.
What about the argument that this isn't really for the benefit of the state because it's for the benefit of identifiable persons within the state?
This, I would say two things. First, I think it gets it backwards. Suing on behalf of all, everybody in the state, it could not be more of a sovereign act. It's when the state sues on its own behalf that we know it is proprietary and that a statute of limitations does apply. I would also say when the state brings a Perrins action, it doesn't represent any individual defendants. This is not the case of any individual defendants. It's a case brought on behalf of
plaintiffs.
It's a case brought on behalf of the entire state. It's restitution is a different form, a different cause of action in that case. The danger that there could be duplicative recovery of some kind, or we could bring the same, that we could penalize a defendant twice, is misplaced. The statute, CPA, clearly says that the state cannot seek duplicative damages. That's just simply not a concern in this case. Thank you.
Starting with a couple big picture questions, the state has made what I believe is a pretty remarkable argument, that if this court determines that 080 by its terms does not fall under the same statute of limitations as 090, then the court doesn't even need to reach 160. I submit that has it completely backwards. If just because 080 doesn't fall within the strict text of the 4-year statute of limitations under the CPA, the answer to that is not to throw up our hands and say there's no statute of limitations. The legislature has enacted catch-all statute of limitations for the very purposes of catching things that are not subject to some direct, precise text. And this court and other courts have looked at scenarios where a particular cause of action is not directly covered by a statute of limitations. And what the court does is not just say there's no statute of limitations. Instead, it looks at what is the most analogous cause of action to be found in the statute. It did that in Imperato. It did that in Eastwood. And here, the most analogous cause of action is the 090 damages claim.
Well, that starts from a premise, And the premise is that the cause of action must have a limitation period. And if the answer to that musing is in the affirmative, then what you say is true. But why would we assume that the cause of action must have a limitation period when the legislature in one subsection specifically provides for it as to certain things, but in the preceding subsection does not? I mean, what this is getting down to is what's the legislature's intent?
Correct. I completely agree. That is the question. But the legislature's intent is answered by looking at, first of all, 160. The legislature was very precise when it wanted to have no statute of limitations. It's only claims for the benefit of the state or in the name of the state. I've already talked about why that doesn't apply where the state is acting.
Does that mean when the state is acting as sovereign?
Essentially, it means when the state is acting primarily as a sovereign as opposed to primarily on the benefit of particular individuals. And the state has said, oh, this is just on the benefit of the state and not for particular.
Why isn't the first half of the sentence that you answered my question with the entire answer, that what this legislature is looking for is to logically to carve out a circumstance when the state is acting as sovereign, as it does with not allowing someone to gain adverse possession of parklands and matters of that type. When the state's engaged in a sovereign activity, limitation periods don't act to its disfavor. When it's engaged as a typical citizen, they might. Why isn't that the distinction?
Because the cases that were referred to by the state, the Herman case and the Major League Baseball case, look at the particular statutory context to determine whether the function is sovereign or it's not sovereign. In Major League Baseball, there was an exclusive delegation to a corporation to act as the sovereign. And the same was in Herman. The insurance regulator was bringing the case as a sovereign. In neither of those cases do we have the scenario that we have here where private plaintiffs come alongside the state and help in the enforcement of the antitrust laws. That's a completely different scenario, and the state has said this is a case on behalf of the state. It's not on behalf of particular individuals, but the precise text of 080 undermines that. It says the restitution has to be given to particular individuals. There will be orders given to restore money or property to particular individuals. That is not a quintessentially sovereign action in the same way where there's an exclusive delegation to a state agency to carry out a sovereign function.
The next matter is also state versus LG.